Good morning. It's good to be back with you guys, and it's not cold. But it's still windy. Is it always windy here? Okay. All right. So this morning on the way here, I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you and just to encourage you. As Pastor Phil just said, we are going back to Pakistan in August. The last time we were there, we saw around 90,000 first-time salvations. So we're really excited. But just this, maybe about 2 weeks ago, my 93-year-old mean, grumpy grandfather received Jesus. So if there is somebody that you are believing for, do not give up hope. It's not too late. It's never too late. So when we were in the DR about 3 years ago, we were in a city called San Juan, and we had this gentleman come up, young, middle 20s, and he couldn't stand up. He just kept leaning over, and he just kept grabbing his shorts, and he's just like, I'm just so happy. And we're like, okay, what's going on? The crowd is going crazy, and we're like, okay, somebody's got to tell us this story. So here's what it is. He was the main drug lord over that area, received Jesus that night. To this day, he now is the evangelist working with the churches that we were working with in that area to take people out in the streets to preach Jesus to them. Isn't that awesome? And then one other real quick. So when we were in Bonny, Dominican Republic, I think it was last June, we had this lady come up and she was sharing her healing testimony, but then she shared with us that she received Jesus that day as well. And she turns around and she goes, and those are my pastors sitting right there on the stage. And that was like a shift for me in that moment that, you know, sometimes we think just because somebody is in our church that they have received Jesus, that they understand the gospel. And in the Dominican Republic, a lot of them don't. They've never heard it. The crusade we did in San Juan, I think we had about 40,000 salvations. And the one in Bonny, it was a smaller group. I think we had around somewhere between 13,000 and 15,000 salvations. So we are going back to the Dominican Republic again in November as well. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I think Nate's going with us. Nate, are you coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, then he's coming. All right. Praise the Lord. We just decided for him. Everybody say, Nate, you're going. All right, there we go. We just made the decision. He was led. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the opportunity to come together. And Father, we thank you that you live and dwell and abide in us by the Holy Spirit. But Father, you also promised, Jesus, you said we're two or three together, you are in our midst.
Yes.
Father, we thank you live in us, and we thank you that you are upon us. And Father, we just pray for the nation of Israel this morning.
Yes.
We pray for peace
yes.
over Israel.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 2. I'm going to get right into it this morning. John chapter 2, everybody say this, I'm living a submitted life to his voice. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth once said that the world has yet to see a person who was 100% submitted to God of what could be accomplished. Think about that for a moment. Say, God needs me. Oh, he doesn't need me. He's God. Well, he chose to need you. Amen. The Bible, in his sovereignty, he made a decision that he was going to work through his body. Are you part of the body? The head can do nothing without the body. Amen. And the body can do nothing without the head. So as Paul puts it, we are co-laborers with Christ Jesus. I love that idea that I get to be co-laborers with him. He did the hard part. He finished it on the cross. And then he commissioned me. He missioned me. He empowered me. All the things he did for me, he's done for you to then go and tell the world of what he accomplished. Amen.
Amen.
What an awesome opportunity. So we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning. John chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. But as we do, I want to share with you a testimony of mine. You may my own. You may not have heard this testimony before. But if you haven't, just pretend. If you have, pretend like you haven't. Amen? And so in 2013, I woke up. I'd been sick for about 7 years. And I'd had been diagnosed with two serious autoimmune diseases. And it had gotten to the point that I was getting close to being in a wheelchair. Things were very difficult for me. I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't move my joints. I couldn't put my hands over or my arms over my head. I was sleeping at that time about an hour and a half a night. And this had been going on for about a year just from the severe pain. There was nothing that would fix it. And so on a Thursday morning in the month of October 2013, another night of not sleeping, I got up, I walked to my living room at a very slow pace because I could barely move, and I sit down on my couch, and this was the prayer that I said to the Lord that day. I said, "Lord, tell me what to do or take me home." I said, because I can't live like this anymore. I was exhausted. I was tired. I had been ministering to the sick from the time I was 19 years old in ministry, seeing miracles, supernatural things happen. And here I was struggling something for 7 years that I could not get delivered and set free from. And I knew it wasn't his will. I knew it wasn't him withholding things, but I also knew it wasn't a lack of faith on my part either. I just needed an answer. Has anybody ever been there before? And so I was sitting there, and I've learned over the years when something is not working the way that it promises in the scripture and what we know is part of the redemption promises of God towards us through Christ on the cross, the correct question is never why. The correct question is what. Because why doesn't really matter. But if you get the what on something and you submit to that what and you act upon it, guess what? You'll find the results you're looking for. Amen. And so that morning, the Lord said these words to me. I'll never forget. The Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, "Go play basketball." Now, that didn't make any sense because I can't move. And so anyways, and I grew up playing basketball like the twins here did, as you guys know, and used to play basketball with them in Pastor Phil's driveway. We had many games of me making sure these two young ones still knew I had it. And so anyways, had to teach them a few lessons. Now, they were kids, so that's not exactly fair, but I'm going to talk a little trash. Amen. So anyways, but at many times of that over the years, and so I played a little bit of basketball in college. It was something my first love. And so when the Lord told me that, I said, "Lord, how am I supposed to do that?" Everybody say this with me. Human reasoning is the biggest hindrance to the supernatural. You hear? I'm going to say it again. Human reasoning is the biggest hindrance to the supernatural. And so anyways, the Lord didn't negotiate with me because he does not negotiate. He said, "Go play basketball." That was on Thursday morning. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but somehow I'm going to have to find a way to do this. Sunday morning, I'm at my church. I'm pastoring at the time. I jokingly always say this is before God delivered me. The truth is he probably delivered them. But anyways, I'm pastoring at the time. And during that time, that Sunday morning, we had a new family had just come about 6 weeks, and the husband walked up to me and said, "Pastor, I don't want you to think I'm a flake, but I bought you a gift on Thursday morning. The Lord told me I was supposed to buy this for you." He said, "After service, can I give it to you?" I said, "Sure." Walked out to his car. Now, this was the craziest thing. I would be in so much pain, not able to walk. You couldn't touch my body. If your clothes brushed up to me, it would cause so much pain, I'd want to cry. When I felt a sneeze coming on, I had to prepare myself mentally because the sneeze would just bring shockwaves of pain through my body. And so anyways, but when I would preach and get under the anointing, all the pain would leave. And then I would come out of it and it'd come back. And so anyways, there was a lot of sermons, long sermons back then, because they may have been having a hard time, but I was having a good time. And so anyway, so I end up getting done. We walk out to his car, and it would take about an hour and a half, 2 hours after I got done preaching, and the symptoms would come back. And it was always so discouraging. Has anybody ever been discouraged before? And so anyway, so I walk out there and the gentleman, Chris, he opened the back door of his car and he says, "Pastor, again, I don't want you to think I'm a flake, but I'm driving to work 6:30 in the morning. The Lord told me to go to work early that day. As I'm about to pull into my office, I see a Walmart. The Spirit of God says, pull into Walmart. I need you to buy Brian a basketball." He hands me a basketball. He goes, "I don't know what this is about." I said, "I do. Don't worry about it. We'll talk later." Took the basketball. Monday morning, I'm at the gym, and I'm throwing granny shots up because that's the only thing I could do. Now, I'm going to hurry up and get through the story and tell you what happened. Within 6 months, every symptom in my body was gone. I'm playing full court basketball. Now, I will say I needed an oxygen machine, but I was still playing full court basketball. Within a year, the two autoimmune diseases in my body, they could no longer find it in my blood work. Everybody say this with me. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, I want you to see something here. Here's what I want you to see. Did it make any human sense for me to go play basketball? No. Did it make any human sense for somebody who barely knows me, doesn't know my history? The Lord says, pull over and buy your pastor a basketball and give it to him on Sunday. No. It took obedience of more than one person in order for God to get accomplished what he wanted to do. You know who also this went with? Elijah and the widow. Do you remember the story? What did the Lord say to Elijah? He said, Elijah put a curse on the land. He ran out of food. He ran out of the water. He was starving. And he said, there'll be a widow. When you see her, tell her to make you something. At the same time, the Spirit of God had spoken to the widow and said, there's a man of God coming. When he comes, make something. I want you to see something. God always maneuvers with people being obedient. And it usually includes more than one person because God's trying to answer more than one problem at the same time. Amen. Are you guys with me this morning? Yeah. John chapter 2. You there? Everybody say this with me. Submitted life to his voice. John chapter 2 verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. This is the very first miracle that Jesus performs. In seminary, Bible college, wherever it might be, there's a law called the law of first mention. So this is the first miracle within the new covenant. Say new covenant. So it's the first mention of a new covenant miracle. Whenever something is first mentioned according to theology, oftentimes that means that you're going to see that there's a pattern of the same thing over and over again, how God does things in the earth. And so this is the first mention of the new covenant. Sometimes people think of the new covenant, we're under grace. So grace means I don't have to do anything. I just sit on a beanbag, eat Pop-Tarts and watch video or play video games. No, that's not grace and rest. That's called lazy. Grace is not inactivity, spirit-directed, spirit-empowered activity, knowing that as you go about being obedient to his leading, his favor is already on your life. Amen? Say favor. Because of the finished work. But it still takes our obedience in order for his will to be accomplished in the earth. You guys see that? Not only for you, but for everybody else. So in the law of the first miracle, also I want you to see something here. This is really important. The first thing Jesus does in his miracle ministry on the earth is a social event. And the only thing that it would have caused a problem for was the family who would have ran out of wine. And this is the reason why it mattered so much. In that culture, in that time, in that covenant ceremony, to run out of something would have brought great shame on the family. The very first miracle Jesus performs is to remove the shame on somebody, because those who call on the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. It's the heart of God. God is not shaming you. Everybody say that. He convicts you, but he doesn't shame you. Shame doesn't come from him. And shame is a dangerous emotion. As a matter of fact, psychologists have said that what you feel condemned to or shamed to, you'll continue to repeat. There's no victory in shame or condemnation. There's victory into conviction, because conviction will transform you from the inside out. He'll tell you who you are, remind you who you are, and say, hey, knucklehead, knock it off. Amen? Say, I'm not a knucklehead. All right, I'm making sure y'all awake with me today. All right. So the very first thing is Jesus said to her, okay, now both Jesus' disciples were invited to the wedding. They ran out of wine. The mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. I don't know why she was in charge, but apparently she was either the wedding coordinator or something. She knew something. Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Here's a question I have for you. Was Jesus wrong?
No.
Has his hour come and he just didn't know it yet?
No,
he knew exactly his hour had not come, but I want you to see something here. This is so important. Listen, God will shift time when people will approach him in faith.
Amen.
Why can he shift time? Because we're the only ones that live in time anyways. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's outside of time, space, and manner. So time means nothing to him. How many times do we say this? God is never, never late. Or no, God is never early. But he's barely on time. Like Jesus and the Father are sitting on the throne looking at you going, let's let him sweat it out for a while. This is fun to watch. No, it's because we have that expectancy. Now, when things do struggle, here's the number one reason why things take longer than they should. Are you ready? It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with somebody else he's calling to be obedient who's not doing it yet. Because there's always moving on more than one person at once. Are you following me? This is how God works. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. The eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you, right? The foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. He's moving among everyone, because here's why. He wants everyone to be part of this, because as we're a part of it, guess what? There's a blessing in that. Are you guys with me? Say this with me. There's a blessing in his obedience, in my obedience, excuse me. There was a blessing in his too. It said the joy set before him, he went to the cross. What was the joy set before him? You and me. Come on. This is good stuff.
And so anyway, so he says this, he says, they ran out of wine. His hour had not yet come. When he says, calls Mary a woman, he's not speaking of a disrespectful term. In the actual culture at the time, it was, hey, I am a son. I'm your son, but I've grown up, but I still have affection for you. It doesn't mean that, you know, we talk to our wives or our mothers that way in our culture. He said, woman, my hour has not yet come. His mother ignores it and says this to him. Servants, whatever he says to you, what?
Do it.
Say, do it. Now, there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons. Say, purification of the Jews. What is that? I've talked about John 2 in this church before, but I felt led to talk about it again today, so I'm going to do so. All right? John chapter 2 says, are there 6? Say, 6 water pots. 6 represents the number of man. Water pots of stone represent the law. I want you to see this. Jesus says this, he says, Jesus said to them, fill those 6 water pots of stone, which was made for the purification of the washing of the body. In other words, when someone came into a place, they would go and they would wash their hands, their head, their feet, because they live in a place that they didn't have running water all the time. And it certainly was sandy and dusty and dirty. They cleaned themselves as they came in. It was a cleaning station. You follow me? He says, draw some water, fill those water pots with water, fill them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when he gets guests are well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. What is this? I want you to see something. Had the servants, listen to this. Had the servants begin to reason in their mind, say human reasoning, why would we take water from the cleaning station to the master of the feast? Let me tell you something about the miraculous. Miracles almost never happen and then you move. Miracles happen as a result of him saying something. You move in spite of human reasoning. In obedience, and somewhere along the way, the miracle begins to manifest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most people are waiting for a miracle to act. Let me tell you what makes miracles happen. You act to his word and to his voice. You guys with me? This is the way it works. For me, the Lord spoke to me, play basketball. He used somebody else to confirm it. You see this? I had to go act upon it. And after almost 8 years of suffering with a disease that was sending me to a wheelchair, 6 months later, I'm free. A year later, they can't find out my blood work. How many of you guys know that if I would have said, that makes no sense, I can't do it, or if I would have went one time and threw up a few granny shots because that's all I could do at the time and said, well, it didn't work and gave up, no miracle takes place. Are you following me? Say a submitted life to him. When we begin to realize that he knows better than we know and we're willing to listen to his voice and act upon it, our life will begin to change. In every area of our life. And so anyways, what we see here is this. I will guarantee that they took that water from the dirty pots and they took it to the master of the feast. And somewhere along the way, it turned into wine. I don't know when it does. The Bible didn't tell you. But I'll tell you just by doing this for 27 years, I've never seen the manifestation first and then the action. It's always been the action and then the manifestation. That's what the faith life is. We're called to walk by faith. We're always stepping one step outside of what we can produce. And if it doesn't work, then we will completely fail. If what you can do can keep you from failing, you've yet to begin to step out in faith. I want to live my life in a way that either God moves or this whole thing falls apart. Because I know how limited I am in my ability, what I can produce. But I serve an unlimited God that said all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. And if I'm obedient to his word first and I'm obedient to his voice second, guess what happens? Then I begin to flow in the supernatural in a way that I could have never done on my own. Matter of fact, I couldn't have done it at all in my own. And I don't know about you, but Christianity without the supernatural to me is real boring. I like seeing what God will do. Amen. But I want you to see something here. He took six water pots. Say 6. According to the purification. So 6 is the number of man. He took those water pots which washed the outside. And he took water which was to clean the outside. By the time it got to the master of the feast, that turned into wine. Which wine now is something that you would begin to receive by drinking it. And the master of the feast says, most time you put out the inferior wine until the guests have well drunk, and now you put out the better wine, and you put out the worst wine at the end. What was this a picture of? This was a picture of the new covenant. It's so beautiful. Why is that? Because how many of you guys know that under the new covenant,
It is a better covenant with better promises. Wine represents the Holy Spirit. The law represented those water pots, or the water pots represent the law. Man trying to clean themselves, they couldn't do so. But now we ingest the Holy Spirit, the new wine, say new wine. And He changes us from the inside out. And here's the cool thing about it. This covenant was built on better promises. Amen. And how many of you guys know Romans chapter 8 says that we're no longer ruled, talking about ruled by the law, but we are led by the Spirit. Man, isn't that good news? And when you're led by the Spirit, not only are you led what to do, the cool thing about being led by the Spirit is you are empowered supernaturally with a grace on it and an anointing on it to do something that you cannot do on your own. Man, I don't know about you, but that's the God we serve. Are you guys here this morning? Do you believe that? So say this with me. Whatever He says, I will do it. Well, let me tell you the first test on that. Do you obey the Word of God? Yes. If you're already obeying the Word of God, He'll give you the specifics. Yeah. Too many people are looking for the voice of God, ignoring the Word of God. And let me tell you something. That's like sitting in your car and not turning it on and going driving. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, if the Word of God is driving your car, the Spirit of God will become the GPS. Yeah. But if you're not driving first, He can't lead you what direction you're going. Are you with me? So I first obey the Word. But secondly, once I obey the Word, I begin to obey the Spirit of God. There's somebody, matter of fact, more than one of you here right now going, yeah, but how do I know the voice of God? Am I right? Say amen or oh me. Because everybody has struggled with that. I'm going to help you with it this morning. I'm going to help you. Say this. He is the good shepherd. I am a sheep. I know his voice. Don't tell me He's not speaking to you, because He is. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to recognize His voice. Now, I worked for over a decade in India. And what you would see in India oftentimes was two things. You would see sheep and goats. And in India, they look the same. Matter of fact, I argued one time with Suresh, who I worked with for years in India. And I'm like, Suresh, that is not a sheep. That is a goat. He says, no, that is a sheep. I said, no, it's a goat. Because they look the same. Don't know why. I don't know what it is over there. But then it dawned on me one day, He was right and I was wrong, because you know what I saw happen? Here's how you can know the difference between the goats and sheep. You would see them walking down the street all the time. The shepherd of the goats would be behind them with these long sticks and pushing them forward. The sheep that looked like the goats, the shepherd would be walking ahead of them and the sheep just followed. Say, I'm a sheep. I'm not a goat. Well, what's the difference between a sheep and a goat? A sheep is led. A goat is driven. I don't want to be driven. I want to be led. A goat will buck and rebuke rebel. A sheep knows His voice, follows His voice, and walks into all the blessings as a result of that. Are you guys here? I'm teaching okay, I think. So say this, I'm a sheep. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at this real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to show you how to know His voice. We're going to start in verse 12. It says this. For the Word of God is living and powerful. How many of you guys believe the Word of God is living and powerful? It is not just something written on the pages. Amen. Or in your phone or tablet or whatever it is you read. Say it's living and it's powerful. Has anybody read the Book of Mormon? Duh. Anybody read the Quran? Bleh. Anybody read one of the hundreds of Hindu books? Bleh. You read the Bible and it's alive. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Say living and powerful. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What is a two-edged sword? Let me real quick. Two-edged sword. What does that mean? It means it's sharp on what? Both sides. Say splitting. The Word of God is compared to a sword here, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. Say soul and spirit. When you got born again, what part of you got born again? Your spirit. What part of you has to be renewed? Your soul. Your soul is daily being saved through what? The Word of God. Amen?
But your spirit man is just like Jesus, complete, perfect, just like him, justified, righteous. You didn't even get born with a baby spirit that you have to feed. I know that was taught for years, and I know some people believe it, but the truth was you were fully mature, sealed by the Holy Ghost, and everything that Jesus is, you are. And when God sees you, he sees Jesus. So what is it? It's not about getting something into your spirit. It's about getting it out of your spirit through the renewal of your mind. Amen. Because if you believe there's not everything in there that you need, then there's an element of doubt. And you'll always wonder, how long do I have to keep doing this? Am I there yet? And the enemy will come along and say, you're not yet. Are you following me? Alienness. Or mine. He goes on to say that I can partake of those things through the divine nature. Where's the divine nature at? It's in me. And it says this, that in doing so, this is so awesome. It says, I can escape the corruption of the world. Is sickness and disease part of the corruption of the world? Well, then I can escape it while my mind is renewed. My soul is renewed to the divine nature. Why? Because the Christian life is not attaining something from God. The Christian life is renewing to your mind that all that you attained when you got born again, and it's released. Oh, you're quiet here all of a sudden. Yeah. Say, I'm not attaining. I didn't get a Holy Spirit Junior. He doesn't exist. God lives in me. So therefore, I renew my soul to who I am in my spirit, and the power of God begins to flow. Come on, that's good news. You're literally walking around with much glory on the side of you that Jesus has. You're walking around with much power in you that Jesus has. Matter of fact, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the most power ever. Let me tell you, Donald Trump has no clue. He thinks, we've dropped 30,000 pound bombs. No, there's a power greater than that. Amen. It resurrected Jesus, and he said, it's in you. So if you got all that ability in you, then what's the key? You got to find out about it. Let your mind really begin to believe it, and it begins to flow out of you. Yeah. Unlimited, say unlimited. Unlimited. Resurrected power of God in me. All right, we got that? Make sure. You got as much power as I do. You got as much power as Pastor Phil does. Pastor Nate, you know what? Forget us. We don't mean nothing. You've got as much power as Jesus. Yeah. Come on, man. This is good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. So for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division. Say division. Division. Of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrows. And the discerner of thoughts and intents of heart. So I'm going to start here with the last part of this. Say this with me. The discerner of thoughts and intents of heart. I'm going to show you what the difference is. Everybody say a thought. The Holy Spirit, the Lord does not speak to us typically through our thought life. We don't think we heard the voice of God. He speaks to us typically through the intent of our heart. We could put it this way to help you understand it. The intuition of our heart. Now, what is the difference between a thought and an intuition? Let me explain this to you real quick. A thought basically comes from the outside or something you can produce in your mind. Are you with me?
Yeah.
An intuition is when something springs up when it is the least thing you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And so I want you to see something here, why this is important. Let me explain to you what the voice of God typically is. Now, the God speaks through dreams, visions, all kinds of things, but I'm talking about just everyday life being led by His Spirit. Okay? The reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us through our thoughts is because that's where the enemy works. The devil speaks to us through our thoughts. He attacks our thought life. This is the reason why Paul says we have to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. You follow me? Are you guys with me? But he speaks to us through the intent of our heart. Now, this is the reason why. 1 Corinthians 6:17, you can just write it down if you want to, but 1 Corinthians 6:17, Paul pins this. He says, those that are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. Say one. That word one there literally means to the exclusion of another. So what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us is that our born again spirit and the Holy Spirit are so united. Say in perfect union. It's as if there's no difference. Oh, come on. That's good. So that's the reason why Paul says our life is hidden in Christ, because God is spirit. He sees us according to the condition of our spirit. We were born again, redeemed, made perfect, justified, complete. And then he said, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you and seal that whole thing in so it becomes the protective layer that can never screw that up again. And he says, you in Christ are now perfect union by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so anyways, so we are in one spirit. Now, if I'm sitting here and I just told you my whole story about go play basketball. Let me ask you this question. If I'm going to tell you about what the Lord told me, I have to verbalize that and put that in words to you, don't I? If I just sit here and say, hey, guys, I got a story for you. You get it yet? How many of you guys know you're going to go, what is he doing? Brian's done lost his mind. We should reconsider the support of his ministry. Right? No. So what's happening there? So I got to tell you, as I'm speaking to you and communicating to you what the Lord spoke to me. But he never actually said these words the way I'm going to say them right now. Brian, go play basketball. Never heard it. Not once did I hear it. What happened? I said, Lord, what do I do? And out of nowhere, basketball was the absolute last thing on my mind. I said, what do I do? There was an intuition from the inside that popped up. And I went, basketball? Really, Lord? I just knew. Has anybody ever had that happen in your life?
Yeah.
You just what? Knew. So this is a skill, a spiritual skill that we can actually get better at. How many of you guys know that if you are a carpenter, that is a skill that the longer you do it, the more you practice, you get what? Better at it. Our son, who's 11 years old, has fallen in love with the game of basketball all summer long. I've spent 3 or 4 hours in the gym with him. We're working on his skills. We're working on his fundamentals. He is getting better. But here's the cool thing about it. The Bible actually shows us exactly how to develop the skill. Let's go back and read Hebrews chapter 4 again. Let's read this again. I know this is a little bit, I just felt led to go this direction this morning. I hope this is helping you guys. And I'm going to show you how the supernatural works with this. 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing you to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow and the discerner of thoughts and intents of heart. I'm going to read it like this. Just follow me. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me ask you. Say, word of God. Does anybody in here ever read your Bible? If you don't, you read your Bible. Let me tell you why the practice, the discipline of reading your Bible on a regular basis is so important. You ready? First of all, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that contradicts the word of God. That's the foundational thing. But second of all, it is through the reading of the word that we discover and understand the difference between thoughts and intents. Let me ask you, how many of you this last week read your Bible during your time or whatever you read it, and as you were reading, something jumped off the page and you just had a revelation? And you went, oh, let me ask you, when you had the revelation, did the Spirit of God stop and talk to you and go, this is what this means, Nate? What happened? You just... It is through being in the Word of God that we begin to recognize the difference between the intent of the heart, because every time you read your scripture and the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate something and you begin to have an understanding over the same text of scripture that you might have read 1,000 times, but one day you read it and it came alive to you. It became a rhema spoken word. You understood it. That is the exact same way He leads us in everything we do in life. It's not a, hey, Nate, go this direction. It's Nate's living his life and all of a sudden he just knows. But he knew how to recognize what he knew because he developed it by daily reading the Word of God, which is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Division, creating a division to teach you the difference between your thoughts, the enemy's thoughts, and, listen, the Spirit of God leading you. So when I played basketball, when I did it, I just knew. When Chris, who is in my church, the Lord taught, he just knew. Because that skill had been developing. Let me tell you, the most important thing we can do as a Christian, listen to me, I believe the most important thing we can do as a Christian is not even our praying in tongues, not even our prayer life. That is so important. The number one thing is just dedication and commitment to open that thing that is living and powerful and reading it. Because when we do, we are building the fundamentals of a submitted life to Christ. Are you guys here? I feel like this is more of a pastoral message. I don't know what got into me today, but it's what I feel led to do. Yeah. Pastor Phil, am I all right? Yes. Amen. Say this with me. Let me say this. If I learn to don't know his voice, are you ready? I'll learn how to operate in the gifts. Yes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to end here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There is a difference of ministries, but the same Lord. There is a diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings of the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually if he wills. Nope. Nate caught it. I want you to see something here. Let me ask you a question. Is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit one? Yes. Would they ever contradict each other? No. That would mean God would be bipolar. Right. Or schizophrenic. He doesn't contradict himself. Jesus said this, if you've seen the Father, you've seen what? Me. Or you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I like to get it backwards today for some reason. Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1 says that in various times in the past that God spoke through the prophets, but in these last days is anything after the resurrection. In these last days, he's spoken once and for all through who? Jesus. Jesus is the final answer. Jesus is perfect doctrine. It reveals the will of the Father. And we know without a doubt that God's will is to heal, to deliver, to save. Amen. That's his nature. And let me tell you, I don't have the time to talk about it, but this whole idea of somebody struggling, oh, they just need more faith, that brings condemnation. A lot of times it's other things that we need to get to. But I don't believe in beating people up. Amen. I feel like some of us with the teaching of faith have got more faith in our faith and not enough faith in his mercy. And so anyways, I want you to see something here. The last verse here, what it says, and you guys probably already caught it, there was no if involved, because if God's will is always to deliver, then with the Father's will to deliver, then it's always the Son's will, and it has to always be the Holy Spirit's will, because the Holy Spirit's here just to do what? Enforce what Jesus already accomplished on the cross and was the will of the Father the whole time. There is no division between those three. They are in perfect unity. So Paul doesn't say if, he says as. Everybody say as. As means that there is always a way to get someone delivered. Always. But here's what I want you to see. Are you with me? It is us learning to know the voice of God, being the body, his hands and feet, his voice in the earth, being his body, being submitted to him. Are you following me? And by the way, this goes for your own life, because you can operate in the gifts in your own life, but also goes for ministering to others. It is us being submitted to him, knowing his voice, so he can get his will accomplished on the earth to see people delivered and set free. You are the conduit of the power of God. He gave you the authority, but you're the conduit. In other words, it's like this. If he was the electric company, he sent the electricity. You wouldn't call the electric company up and go, hey, listen, I need you to come turn on my switch. But that's what we do. God, you need to do this. He's like, whoa, I sent everything you need. Flip the switch. Are you following me? That's all he's asking. He's telling you, flip the switch. But you got to learn to be in tune with his voice, and that's what we're doing this Christian life, is I'm being submitted to him, knowing his voice, by being in the Word of God, knowing the difference between the intents and the thoughts of the heart, clearly understanding this, so that I know I can be confident to be led. It's not why. The question is what? Say what? And he's going to tell you to do something outside of human reasoning, and that's just more confirmation. It's him. Are you following me? Because he's always going to make you step into a place of faith, because he is a faith God. He operates in the realm of faith. And it says in Hebrews that it is impossible to please God without faith. Are you mean? The only thing that pleases him is that you're operating by faith, listening to his voice. Not operating by works. There is a work involved, the work of faith. It's an action. It's not a work to get God on your side. It's a work believing he's on your side and trusting he knows what he's doing. Are you with me? So it says, say this with me, as. Not if, as. Now let's just go real quick to verse, I'm going to end real quick. Let's go real quick to the very, very last part of chapter 12. I love this. Verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. Say desire.
Desire.
You ready? And yet I show you a more excellent way. I'm going to say this. Paul says there's a more excellent way. We're not going to read it because of time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as what?
Love.
So Paul says, what is a more excellent way?
Love.
Love. Let me ask you a question. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus saw the multitude and he was moved with
love.
Here's what I want you to see. When we learn through the Word of God to recognize his voice, and we begin to see people the way Jesus sees them, with compassion and love, that activates whatever the as is to see that person delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be our prayer. Lord, I am a sheep. I know your voice. I'm led by you. Father, expand my heart to the capacity of compassion to see people the way you do. Whenever I'm experiencing his love, I love people in such a way that whatever gift needs to be there, will be there. Can you guys play this real quick? I want to share a testimony. We were in Tulsa 2 weeks ago. This was a testimony. The Lord gave me a word, and I'll talk about it real quick for a little bit, and then we'll talk about what we're doing in Pakistan. Those of you that need to go can go at the end, and those who want to be ministered to can. But can you guys go ahead and play this? It's an audio. It takes a minute. It'll clear up, I think.
God touched me. He just touched my life. I can't stop talking. I was an introvert. I never talked to anybody. I'd come to church, listen to Pastor Greg, and I would go out and go home. But I just can't stop talking. I just keep talking. And I came on Saturday night, and I'm going to say speaker, because I keep forgetting his name. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, that guy was so powerful in my life, in my heart. And I said to Jesus, it was toward the end of the service, and I said, Jesus, could you heal me? And he healed me. I'm sorry.
No.
He healed me from top to bottom. My mental illness. I didn't have a mental illness, but that's what they told me. He healed my feet. That first Saturday, I could feel my toes.
Yes.
And I never prayed for me. I always prayed for others to get healed. But he wanted to heal me, and I could feel my toes. And when I was sitting there, he said, I'm going to heal you. I said, you're going to heal me? He said, I'm going to heal everything in your body. And so Sunday morning, I had to get a ride. My car broke down. And it's a good car, but I had to get it fixed. It's fixed now. But I got a ride, and this person didn't pick me up until 10:45. I'm used to coming here at 8:30 to the Sunday school class, which I love. But anyway, I'm so nervous. I'm sorry.
You're doing great.
I told the Lord, do not keep me from going to church because you said you were going to heal me. And I got here at 10:45, and I missed most of the praise and worship. But I thought, this is not going to stop me. And I was sitting over there. And then Brian.
Yeah.
Brian got up his turn. And he was singing. He was doing the healing service. And he said, somebody over there. I don't even know who it was. But God is healing. I was over here. And he pointed over there.
I remember that.
And he said, there's somebody getting healed of neuropathy.
I remember.
What was the other? Neuropathy and something else in their body. And I was
pain?
Over there.
think it was pain.
And I went like this when he did that. And then he said that it's somebody that had a car accident. Well, I never had a car accident. And I put my hand out, but I was just going like that. And then he said, if you need healing, come up here. Well, I ran up here because he told me he was going to heal me from head to toe. And I had kidney failure, second phase. And he said he was healing my whole body from head to toe. And he healed me. And I was over there and I just kept saying, Jesus, don't let me fall, because I felt like I was going to fall. And
because the spirit was getting
the spirit,
heavy.
Oh, it was heavy from pop. I was feeling heat and everything. I never felt that in my life.
Fighting it.
And I was over there, and he came, and that's all he did was go like that. It wasn't him. It was the Father in heaven. And I just felt heat, and I was going like this, and I said, Jesus, don't let me fall. I can't get up, because I have... The ambulance would always have to come to my apartment because I fell a lot. I did fall a lot. And I could feel my heels. And I felt my whole feet. I've never in 29 years felt my... I had neuropathy. And that's a long time.
29 years, you couldn't feel your feet.
I couldn't feel my feet. And I would always sway, and I'm still swaying because I'm nervous. But I fell, and I was kind of trying to keep me up. I didn't want to fall. And I said, Jesus, I can't get up in front of all these people. I don't want to look like a fool because I have trouble getting up. And so anyway, it just knocked me down. I couldn't hold that power. It was a strong power. And so I fell down, and Jesus was just covering me from head to toe. And he said, I'm healing you. I told you I was going to heal you. And I laid there, and then I felt like it was time to get up. I said, oh, Jesus, please help me. And there was two men, that man and
Bruce.
Somebody...
Uh-huh. And Mike probably might have been asked.
Some of them.
I don't know. There's a bunch of men helping
me. Uh-huh. And I got right up. And my knees, I had bad knees. And I have a bone out of this right knee. And I could never kneel. Well, I kneeled up. And
wow.
Then,
hallelujah.
No pain.
Praise God. Thank you. That's so sweet. God is good.
Turn that off. So just to be clear real quick, she had been in this condition for 29 years. The Lord gave me during worship and said neuropathy over here. He did tell me there was somebody that also, there was from car accident. What you don't know from that testimony was there was a young lady there from Mexico, and her mom had been in a car accident a year before, and her mom were on the phone, and she mom had asked her that morning, can you believe in that service I'll get healed from the neuropathy from the car accident? So it was two people, but she was there. 29 years. She couldn't move. She couldn't walk. She would fall over. Here's the other thing is that the Lord actually told me, there's this person hears voices too. I got in my mind, I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to embarrass someone. What we found out, Jennifer and I was, is that she was hearing voices for years. That morning, the voices completely went away. Amen. Say this with me. Whatever he says, do it. So we've just so recently, we had a man in Branson, Missouri. He had stage 4 kidney failure. God healed his kidneys. Amen. We could go down the list. We had somebody that was in a wheelchair, hadn't walked in 5 years. If they walked, they'd go paralyzed. God brought them right out of the wheelchair and they were healed. This is not on the mission field. This is not on the crusade field right here in the United States. He is the same God over everyone. I'm going to minister to you guys here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to give you this opportunity, two things. And then those that need to go, you can go. Those who want to stay, you can stay. We've got a book back here called Supernatural You. Discover how God can use you to do the miraculous. I was in a meeting where Dutch Sheets prophesied over me for 21 minutes. I didn't know him. He did not know me. Called me out. Talked about the crusades I did. Talked about miracles. And he said, the next season of your life, you're going to teach the body of Christ to do what you do. And so anyways, then a guy named Chuck Pierce, a few months later, did not know me. I did not know him, called me out, some of the same stuff. Then Andrew Womack Ministries asked me to do a seminar for them, an online seminar. And they said, can you get that material in a book? And so I wrote this book in 12 days. It's back there. Normally it's 20 bucks. It's 15 bucks for you guys, but it's back there. This will help you. This book has went all over the country and the world. I've been blown away. I can't believe, honestly, it's a lack of faith to say this. I didn't think anybody would want to read it. And we get people buying one and coming back and buying 30 or 40 to give them away. And so it's back there. If you have a hunger to operate in the supernatural, that book is back there for you. And it's 15 bucks. Nate, that one's yours. Lord knows you need it. Anyways, but just joking. Anyways, Pastor Phil, I'll give you one too. Anyways, but also the next two crusades, we said it, Pakistan, we are going to Pakistan. We've already started the pre-crusade work. There's no turning back. So, amen. We might make sure that there is a private jet to get us out of there if we need to. But we are going to go in spite of what's going on. That is a $50,000 crusade. People ask me sometimes, why does that cost so much? Listen, you got to understand that just to be able to rent the stage and all that, that's $10,000 a night. Light stage, typically. But we've sent a team. We have a team of people on the ground 6 months in advance doing all the pre-crusade work. You know, when you have that, you got to have food. You got to have houses to rent. You got to have all that stuff, not to mention all the advertisements. So $50,000 for us doing a crusade, man, let me put it this way. Y'all remember the original Twister? You remember the original Twister? There was a group that had all the nice stuff. And then there's a group that had the broken down stuff. I saw that years ago and I thought, well, that's Ron Hart Bonnke with all the nice stuff. Look at me over here with the other stuff. We're making it work though. Amen. So the last one, we saw 87,000 mostly Muslims come to Christ. Now, let me explain something to you. Let me show you how the follow-up works. We bring these villages, we go to remote areas, we bring all the villagers in on buses. We rent these buses. We have two people on each bus when they leave the crusade going back to register every single person that came and made a decision for Christ. Then we send a team of people that have been raised up and they've been prepared to go and plant churches in all those villages. So it's not just a crusade, it is a evangelism, church planting, discipleship program. Amen. And so we're doing that. And we do something similar in the DR. There's already churches there, but we work with the churches that are there. In Pakistan, we have to plant churches where we're going. Now, I want you guys to know it's $100,000 to do this crusade. We just sent off $20,000 about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We need to send about another $40,000 between the two in the next 10 days. Which, how many of you guys know that's no big deal? Is he the guy that owns everything? So if you want to give to that specifically, raise your hand up. Also, they can put up a QR thing. Anything you guys give towards that is going towards these crusades. It's not going to overhead. It's not going to salaries. Jennifer and I don't take a salary, but the people who work for us do. It's not going to any of those things. But if you want to give to that, you can raise it. Also, for you here that are IT people and all this, if you want to give through scan the cone here, the QR, these are the ways to give. But what I want you to know is anything. Yes, sir. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. If you want an envelope, raise your hand. Amen. Listen, you know, how many I just said live the submitted life? Oh, got quiet in here. This Presbyterian church. Man, are we Lutheran or Presbyterian? I don't know which one it was. How many of those the Bible says live what? A submitted life. Let me encourage you. Take an envelope, even if you don't give today. Ask the Lord what he wants you to give. That's all we ever ask. I'm not going to get up here and tell you if you give $1,000, all of your blessings will come to you tomorrow. Amen. How many guys know that there's truth that we're blessed for giving, but I don't believe in manipulation. Amen. And so we're giving. So anyways, if you want to give that way, we'll also put some envelopes in the back. We'll have some envelopes back there on the table. Pastor Phil, I don't need to take up that offering. Is there a place they can give it in the back? Can we just put a bucket in the back if they want to give it that way? We'll just do that. And so again, we just ask people to give what is in your heart. If you get one number and the Holy Spirit gives you one number and he gives your spouse the other, what do, you guys? No. We multiply them. Anyways, praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody say God is good. God is good. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and stand to our feet.